From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, the story of Tio Alejandro. Jesse Alejandro Cottrell has always been proud to have been named after his uncle. According to the story, in 1978, in the middle of Guatemala's dirty civil war, the government murdered his uncle, Alejandro Mendoza. He was one of hundreds of thousands who was victimized by a succession of brutal regimes.
A UN debate was dramatically interrupted Friday afternoon with the emergency announcement that 5,000 Indians in a Guatemalan village were about to be murdered by government troops.
The civil war in Guatemala lasted for over 30 years. The U.S.-backed government was fighting leftist rebels. Forced disappearances of suspected subversives were common, and many innocent people got swept up and killed at the hands of the government. Jesse grew up on this version of the story, the one where his uncle died unjustly, like a casualty of war. But when he recently visited Guatemala, Jesse started to ask some questions, and he discovered a much more complicated story than he had ever imagined. Here's Jesse.
My earliest memory of my uncle Alejandro was hearing how he died.
Your mother said that she thought that maybe the people who killed him were part of a death squad, and that maybe they shot him after a barroom fight.
And as far as my dad knew, the fight was between my uncle and the son of the mayor. But beyond that, the details were blurry. I didn't know why my uncle had fought the son of a mayor in a Guatemalan city, only that he had been standing up to what my dad called an oppressive government. He says that this is why the people who killed my uncle dressed him up in a military uniform.
And tried to say that he was a member of the insurrection there.
Even if the details weren't certain, my mother remembers very clearly the day she found out her brother was dead. She didn't find out in person or via phone call. She received an express letter in the mail from her father.
I started reading the letter. And the first thing that my father said, you know, "Dear Shani, in this letter I'm telling you that your brother Alejandro had passed away." And I'm like, God, I just stopped there. And I started crying and I probably went crazy. I don't know.
My mom then called her other brothers to ask what happened, but
nobody wanted to say anything. But later on, my brother, he said to me, when we went in the cemetery, there were some soldiers around there. And one came and talked to me and he said, "You know, we know all your family, so just leave it like that."
His family was told not to ask questions about it at all.
But how could they not? My quest to find out what really happened to my uncle started in 2011 when I visited Guatemala for the first time since I was a kid. To my surprise, my family in Guatemala seemed as clueless as I was about how Alejandro died. No one had more than a piece or two of the puzzle, and when I put those pieces together, they still didn't fit. One of my aunts told me that Uncle Alejandro ran with a bad crowd. A cousin said that he might have been a narco. And for 5 years after that visit to Guatemala, I wondered which of those rumors was true. So this past Christmas, I decided it was time to go search for real answers, and I returned to Guatemala. The first person I visited was my cousin Estuardo, but unfortunately, he knew as little as I did. Then I asked my cousin Victor, and he also seemed to know almost nothing. Then one night, I went to hear my cousin's cover band rehearse, and as they played rock classics like "Whip It" and "Love Me Two Times," I struck up a conversation with my aunt, Maria Jesus. Turns out her version of who Alejandro was differed greatly from what I had heard.
Él con sus amigos era todo corazón. Él se daba.
She says my uncle was so close to his friends that he got into fights defending them, and that this noble trait was his biggest problem. When Alejandro died, two of my uncles went to the town where he was killed, trying to figure out why he died. What they found was a love triangle that ended in blood.
Lo que averiguaron fue que Alejandro andaba con unos amigos.
The night my uncle Alejandro was killed, he went to a bar with a couple of friends. Alejandro didn't drink, but one of his friends was dating the cute bartender there. What no one knew was that the woman was also dating another guy, the son of the local mayor, and it just so happened that he was also at the bar that night. So the two men involved in the love triangle started a fight, and my uncle Alejandro immediately jumped into the fray, defending his friend with his fists. That's when he was attacked with machetes. My aunt isn't clear on how the conflict went from a fistfight to something more lethal, but she does know this is how her brother-in-law was killed. My aunt Maria Jesus says the family was at my grandparents' home when they saw the newspaper. In a large font, the paper announced that a group of guerrillas had attacked a neighborhood in Amatitlan, and that the townspeople had killed one of the guerrillas.
Los de la aldea se habían defendido y habían matado a un guerrillero.
The paper reported that the slain guerrilla was my uncle, Alejandro. Whether or not this was true, this news hit my grandfather hard. Not only because his son was dead, but because of the way he was portrayed. He died looking like an anti-government fighter, and my grandpa was very pro-government. But from my aunt Maria Jesus, this is not a story of a political hero or a casualty of war. It's a story of a cover-up. To cover up the involvement of the mayor's son in a crime of passion, the police said that Alejandro was a guerrilla member.
Para poder justificar la muerte de una persona, dijeron que eran guerrilleros.
According to my aunt, they did this to justify why they defended themselves. And in those days, it was easier to get away with something like this. This was a time of war, a war that started long before my uncle's death.
A Sunday convocation that hears Guatemala's chief delegate alleged that his country is the victim of international aggression.
The Guatemalan Civil War started in 1954 when the democratically elected president, Jacobo Arbenz, was overthrown by a military coup. The U.S. government denied its involvement at the time, but decades later, declassified documents revealed that a CIA plot was behind the rebellion that ousted Arbenz. President Dwight Eisenhower's administration considered Arbenz a communist because of his land reform program, which gave unused land owned by rich people to poor people. The war raged for over three decades, leaving an estimated 150,000 Guatemalans dead or missing. Government soldiers fought various leftist guerrilla groups, mostly in the mountains, but the violence often spilled onto the streets of the capital, Guatemala City, where my mother's family lived.
I was very scared of the soldiers more than the guerrillas because the guerrillas were really good people. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. They were the students, the ones that are really looking for the poor people that didn't have anything. But my father, yeah, he didn't want us to get involved in anything because it's too dangerous. You get killed.
My grandfather wasn't alone. Lots of people had reasons to be afraid. Violence was happening all around them.
One day, I was listening to the radio, or it was TV, I don't remember, but I remember that I heard that some people from the university were found dead under a bridge close to Guatemala City. It was like a big shock when I saw the name of the person.
One of the murdered women was Rogelia Cruz, a high school friend of my mom's. So this feeling of constant fear became worse for my mom when she was killed. Rogelia had won the Miss Guatemala pageant and went to the 1959 Miss Universe pageant. The brutal killing of Rogelia had been a warning posed by the government: oppose us and end up dead. But while my mom was shocked to hear how her friend had died, the death itself was less of a surprise, because she knew that Rogelia and her boyfriend had been on the side of the guerrillas and against the government.
And so that's the way you live in a civil war. And the thing is this, if you speak out your mind, you know, they will kill you.
After talking to my aunt Maria Jesus and for the rest of the trip, I felt deflated. My uncle hadn't died standing up to an oppressive government. He was killed in a crime of passion. I asked a few other relatives if the story Maria Jesus had told me was true. They mostly nodded their heads. So at that point, I left Guatemala and I stopped asking questions about who my uncle was and how he died. But by the time I got home, I realized that there was one more person I needed to talk to.
Coming up on Latino USA, Jesse talks to his uncle Alejandro's son, and here's a much different story. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Newsy, the TV news channel with honest, in-depth context on the stories that matter. Newsy is for people who aren't satisfied with getting only the loudest part of the story. Newsy delivers more context, more solutions, and greater understanding of the people and events that shape our world. Learn more at newsy.com/watch. We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Sony Music Latin, presenting Grammy Award-winning artist Ile, a Puerto Rican singer and composer known for her work with Calle 13. Her debut album, Elevitable, garnered her a Best New Artist nomination at the Latin Grammys and subsequently won the award for Best Latin Rock, Urban, or Alternative Album at the 60th Annual Grammy Awards. Her new single and video, titled Odio, is available everywhere now.
Ever get to Friday, look back on the week, and say to yourself, what just happened? I'm Sam Sanders. Check out my podcast, It's Been a Minute, where every Friday we catch up on the news and the culture of the week and try to make sense of it all. Listen on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, we're back. And when we left off, reporter Jesse Alejandro Cottrell was searching for the truth about his tío Alejandro, the man that he was named after. His aunt in Guatemala told him that his uncle died after getting in the middle of a love triangle and that his body was dressed up as a gorilla afterwards as a cover-up. But then Jesse got in touch with his cousin, Alejandro.
Mi nombre es Alejandro Mendoza Maldonado. Tengo 42 años.
This Alejandro is my cousin and the son of the Uncle Alejandro, the one who was killed. I'm going to call him Alex, which he also goes by, just to make things easier. Alex had a difficult childhood because before my uncle was killed, his mother died of an illness. So he was raised by our grandparents, and they didn't tell him much about how his dad died.
A él lo habían matado en una finca en Amatitlán. Hasta ahí, no más me habían contado.
Alex says all he knew was that his dad was killed on a farm in Amatitlán. That was all they told him. They didn't tell him why or how his dad was killed. In other words, as a kid, my cousin knew even less about his own father's murder than I did growing up in the United States. Alex's memories of his dad seemed distant to him.
Son cosas muy lejanas que me acuerdo de él.
At the age of 21, Alex joined the Fuerzas Armadas Rebeldes, or FAR, one of the main guerrilla groups fighting the Guatemalan army. Alex was in college at the time, so instead of wielding a gun, he was in charge of recruiting and educating students to the group's political ideology. Alex remained a member of the FAR until 1996 in a sort of administrative position, never in combat. A year later,
Central America's longest and most brutal civil war has come to an end. For the past 36 years, leftist rebels had battled Guatemala's army.
Peace was finally negotiated between the government and the various guerrilla groups, so he left the armed forces. And as part of the peace accords, all guerrillas had to present themselves before the local United Nations mission to formally accept the deal. But when Alejandro's name was called, he stood up and was shocked by what the woman reading his name said to him.
Me dijo, no es posible que sea usted. Si soy yo, yo me llamo Alejandro Mendoza. Pero no, si usted murió en el 78, me dice.
The woman told Alex that he couldn't possibly be the man she called. He said, yeah, that's me, Alejandro Mendoza. The woman told him, but you died in 1978. Alex asked the woman to read the maternal last name of the man on her list.
¿Cuál es el otro apellido? Le pregunté yo. Entonces me dijo que era apellido Mora.
She said Mora.
Entonces le dije, era mi papá.
That's when Alex realized she was talking about his father. Alex heard the UN read off the name of two more family members that day. but he wasn't sure whether to believe that so many relatives were secretly guerrillas.
En esos tiempos, mucha gente venía y te ponía en la lista para decir que la guerrilla tenía tanto.
Alex says that guerrilla fighters inflated their membership roles with innocent civilians so that they would seem bigger than they really were, even if those civilians had no affiliation with the insurgent groups in real life. So it was difficult to know whether my uncle Alejandro or anyone else in the family was actually involved in the war. Like me, my cousin's curiosity grew as he got older, and a few years later, he started his own investigation into what really happened to his dad. His quest took him to Amatitlan, the town where the family recovered his father's body. He spoke to retired guerrillas in the area and local law enforcement, and the story he pieced together was very different than the one Maria Jesus told me. This story makes more sense if you consider how dangerous Guatemala was in those days and why my family might have wanted to hide the real reasons for my uncle's death.
Bueno, por lo que yo averigüé de mi papá, de que había fallecido, que había sido una incursión guerrillera en una finca.
From what Alex discovered, his dad died on a farm while trying to collect the famous war tax. The war tax was what the guerrillas charged farms in rural areas to help support themselves. But it was mostly imposed on people, so it was more like extortion than donation. And this is where it gets complicated. Somebody must have alerted the locals that my uncle and his friends were coming, because when they arrived, members of the military were there waiting for them.
Cuando ellos entraron, fueron que los agarraron. Y ahí fue donde lo que sucedió con mi papá, pues que lo mataron a él y dos compañeros más.
People ambushed them and grabbed his father as soon as they entered the farm. Alex says that this is where his father was killed.
A mi papá, sí lo mataron a machetazos.
They hacked my uncle Alejandro to death with a machete. They hacked his neck. They hacked his chest until his heart hung out of his chest. So one version of the story has my uncle dying in a bar fight, one that started because of a love triangle and ended with the government accusing my uncle of being a guerrilla fighter. The other version is that he was a guerrilla fighter who was extorting people and ended up mutilated by the military. Given how different these two stories are, I asked my cousin about the origins of the bar story. After all, the barroom version wasn't in any newspaper. It was what my uncles told us.
Vinieron personas a amenazar de que no fueran a hablar de lo que había sucedido porque podía pasar algo peor.
My cousin says that after his father died, people threatened the family and told them all not to talk about what happened. Alex thinks maybe this is when our family decided to tell the love triangle story instead, and he says it's okay for them to have their version. He's keeping his.
Que ellos se queden con su versión, que yo me quedaré con mi versión.
I don't know if in the end, my uncle Alejandro was a hero or a villain. I'd heard that the fog of war creates situations like my uncle's where the truth can't be found. What I didn't expect was that people could come to prefer this fog. For my mom, excavating such awful stories about her brother is something she wants to avoid, which is partly why she's only returned to Guatemala a handful of times in the last 40 years.
And I noticed that some people said that to me, why, what are you, I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to remember that stuff. It's ugly.
It's strange to hear my mom say that. By naming me after my uncle, my mom ensured that neither of us would ever forget his murder. Names, like memories, can be powerful.
Thanks to reporter Jesse Alejandro Cottrell for that story. This episode was produced by Jesse Alejandro Cottrell and edited by Nadia Raymond and Fernanda Chavarri. The Latino USA team includes Marlon Bishop, Miguel Macias, Sofia Paliza Carr, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo. Our engineers are Jeannie Montalvo and Stephanie LeBeau. Additional engineering this week by Rebecca Weinman. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our fellow is Virginia Lora. Our intern is Paula Moura. And this week we have some news about our amazing Dominican-American producer and engineer, Jeannie Montalvo, who is taking on an amazing new opportunity. But you know, Jeannie, we're going to miss you, whether it's orchestrating that ugly Christmas sweater staff photograph, or whether it's taking me on a southern road trip, or whether it's your latest fabulous piece about the history of Latino musicals on Broadway. I'm going to miss having you in the office. I'm going to miss talking about your little baby. I'm going to miss you suddenly singing a Broadway tune. But we know you're not going far. Thank you for everything, Jeannie, and we'll see you around. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. And if you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time. And in the meanwhile, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. The Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, I talk to rapper and actor Fat Joe.
You know, we talked about this 20 years ago. We said one day Latinos were going to grow at an enormous rate where you were going to have to respect whatever we're doing. And that's a fact now.
That's next time on Latino USA.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, and on the next How I Built This, how a group of spandex-wearing teenage superheroes called the Power Rangers helped turn Chaim Saban into one of the richest men on Earth. You can find How I Built This wherever you listen to podcasts.